Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy hump day, everybody. It's the middle of the week, and we have made it through. So thanking God for that opportunity and the opportunity for all of us to gather together tonight and speak about yet another important topic. To my consultant, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with iFloRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events all over New York City venues. You guys know when you go to see a Barry event, you always come out greater than you went in. So hit him up on Facebook or his website at track1entertainment.webs.com and see what he could do for you. It's actually Track 1 Entertain, the number one in entertain.webs.com. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, wishing her recovery, to Monster Miles, DJ Filmmaker Rodney Williams, and of course, fantastic panelists and activists and are definitely strongly opinionated at times. Activists out there in Toledo, Ohio, the awesome Deacon Zeddy Williams out there doing his thing on and off the air, thanking him for all that he does at all times and all that he continues to do. To my power panelists, Patrick Irvine, Professor Carlson Jones, Al Tariq, Atkins, Thalo Jenkins, and my favorite power twins, Darlene and Arlene, for all of your consistent input in and out of the studio, onto your individual communities, and for anybody that you all happen to run into and touch, for giving them great stuff up front. Can't miss out on my social media, people. Starting out with tonight's sponsor, Mr. Mark Pittman, one amazing guy with a lot of passion and definite lot of support. I want to thank him and his two groups, the Black History Suppressed Group, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group. To my group, On the Edge Listeners Lounge, you wonderful bunch of people, you. Thank you all for what you do there. To Linda Miller and the Black Love and Conversations Group, my second most active responders in the pre-broadcast question. Rapidly moving up behind them is my brand new social media, Urban Intellectuals Open Discussion Group with Patrick Irvine, Black Mamba and Tony Gibson, to Capitalist N Group and Marvin Young, and of course, last but certainly not least, Professor Carlton Jones and the What About Us group. You guys are off the hook with all your support and all of your contributions and all of your thoughts. It's intriguing to talk to you, and I thank you all for where we're at. We are going to announce the listenership tomorrow, and I will let you know why. We are very close to hitting another milestone, and I don't want to say it before we get there. So with that being said, let's get to what we will be speaking on tonight. Tonight's topic is called Fighting the Power to Restore Your Power. Now, we are going to be touching on all of our fears of authority figures of all sorts and all aspects and all groups. We all have, whether it's subconscious or indirect or whether it's direct and straight up or blatant, we have fears with certain authority figures out in society. And what happens is, for regular society on a whole, it's already frightening enough, but for Black Americans on a whole, it's twice as that. And we are all going to be discussing tonight who these people are, and as many as we can remember. And then on top of that, we're going to speak about the type of fears that each of these groups or figures bring in. And then we're going to kick it in the ass, because we're going to sit there and find out exactly how it is. We're going to start remembering exactly who belongs where in this game. So anybody out there who read this title and thinks that they're going to be dressed up in Public Enemy or NWA gear and we're ready to go start a rebellion, That's not the situation, but don't go away. You know how this goes. Pre-broadcast discussion song. After that, a word from our sponsors. When we get back, we are on the table tonight. So all of you that's dying to call in, press 1. I'm expecting to hear from you if you're there. So here's Katy Perry with Dark Horse featuring Juicy J. Be back in just a little bit.
Y'all know what it is. Katy Perry, Juicy J. Let's rave.
I knew you were gonna come for me.
And here you are,
but you better choose carefully.
You say
I'm capable of anything, and everything.
Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your
going back.
Figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. This is On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and it is discussion time, everyone. Okay. Fighting the Power to Restore Your Power. That is the title on the table tonight. And I'm quite sure quite a few of my rebels are out there ready for a big old revolutionary block party fight. No, that is not what we are speaking about today. The power that we are speaking about is empowering ourselves back into the position that we truly belong in. Here's the situation. There are several authority figures that are around our society, keeping law and order going, running your government agencies, having outreach agencies that workers are involved, having people come in to stop child abuse or deal with it or whatever the case is. But all of these people are people that have been chosen into office by who? You. Your votes, your PTA election, your acceptance, your agreement by promise from these people that what you want from us means we're getting something from you. You promised us X, Y, and Z. We say that's what we're looking for, so you're the person we will put our valuable vote on the table for. And without any of that, they wouldn't exist. They'd be simple old Charlie trying to come up to the senator spot or the councilman spot or the teacher spot or the principal spot or the police officer spot. This is where we're at. We are at the point when we see any of the people from these specified classes, whatever it is that we're doing or whatever it is we need from them or whatever it is that we're doing seems to stop. For the African-American community, if that's already happening with the Universal Society, we have twice the added factors to make that fear twice as much. And leads us to other most extreme reactions. Let's start off with our biggest, most common group of people that makes society afraid or commands authority or commands that we indirectly or subconsciously or immediately bow down in some form. The police officers. Right now, they are the targeted group of the butt of every scandal, news story, racist problem, corruption problem, murder problem, messed up problem. And somewhere in the middle of all that, our crime rates either gone down in certain areas or up in those very people, in the areas of those very people that are this afraid of them. So let's get started. For the average person sitting in a park, and they have a couple of their friends, especially if they're males, and they're sitting there and they're goofing off and they're acting loud or whatever, and they happen to see a beat officer walking in their direction, the immediate reaction is to quiet down or to warn your friend, yo, the police is over there, or 5-0, the pigs, whatever it is that the name is, that's what's being told. They'll tap their friend and they'll nod their head over in that direction as a warning, even if they're not doing anything. Now, if you're an African-American, you shut down altogether. You have to stand at attention, assume the position before the position was even requested. Now, through all of this, we forgot that the police have a rule of thumb that they have to follow before they can get to the point of arresting you, unless, of course, it's one of those things where people can point you out and they said you were the person, and that's it. They can't just ask you for information because they happen to walk up and don't like the formation that they saw, be it by and look suspicious by their police instinct, which lately nowadays we're going to be questioning what that means. And which for certain classes, color, and race of people, it actually can be adjusted to the benefit of the actual officer themselves. But we tend to do that. We tend to hush up, quiet down, back up, be just about ready to bow our heads and pretty much kneel before them. America, they were elected into office. They were chosen by a person we elected into office. We still have due process. We still have innocence till proven guilty, even if they have turned it into a whole new game. They can't just walk you up and say, you kind of look like someone that looks like someone that someone said could be you. You guys heard my story 2 days ago. I'm walking from a bus station, okay? I'm coming off of hard days running around with the city of New York. I have to already be inconvenienced because someone decided to take their private car out of their driveway and block the sidewalk, so I have to go up into their driveway partially to come around to get back on the common sidewalk. And as I did that, all of that, here comes a car that pulls up, unidentifiable from them because they didn't identify who the hell they were. But they were asking me a bunch of questions. Who are you? What's your name? What's your age? Where are you going? What is it? And my entire response was, where's your badge? I don't know you. You're not getting any information. You want to know my age? Yes, because the only way you're going to get it from me. Now, they were getting aggressive for the fact that how dare you say no to a police officer. Don't you see my persona? Don't you see this? No, you are in plain clothes with all I see is a gun. You might be illegal for all I know. But that is where we don't know how to do it, especially as Black Americans. And I will say, brothers, I don't blame you. I understand. But there's a way where you... We have to get to the point of understanding how it is to be empowered with the legal way of doing stuff. Now, and don't get me wrong, I understand clearly the situation. Racism in police officers and targeting Black males in America but with police, no matter how well-dressed you are, no matter how innocent your activities are, no matter how quiet and timid you are, no matter how loud you are, it's all the same to them. I understand that. But when you are in an inconvenient situation where it's just a matter of them talking, as aggravated as you are, you stand firm and stay legal. And then you know what? When it gets to the point, or if it gets to the point of it being a fight, at least you can pretty much have in your head every step of the way what it was you did, so that anytime they try to say something like, I believe he was being threatening, you know exactly what you were doing at that point. You make sure you document it however which way you have to, and you guys all know what I'm talking about. You make sure you point out witnesses in your own mind. You take a look around your environment, your exact scene, to know what's what. White guys will get stopped at a light and know they're speeding, and the police officer will tell them while they're busy saying, what'd you stop me for? I'm in a hurry. Can we do this later? They afforded that luxury. A cop will go, just watch what you're doing next time and keep it moving. That's what we need to do. Not to the point of having that much, let's say, cojones as an African-American, because even though we have those rights, you know that they don't allow us to exercise it that way. But the bottom line is you are still a human being and they still are a cop that's supposed to follow certain rules. So we're going to get to some solutions of some suggested solutions a little bit later. What else do we do with the cops? Oh, no matter what it is that they're asking for, we offer it to them without asking for identification or for them to explain why they're asking. As I brought up, they ask my name, my age, where am I going? No badge, no explanation as to why they even inconvenienced my walk by stopping me from continuing to do so. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as strong as I was and as brave and determined and understandable of my rights as I was, it is a shaky situation. It does make you feel a little bit shaky because there's this perception of what they do, and we know at the end of the day, real criminals will lose to them. But at the same token, while I'm sitting there sort of quivering because it is disturbing to have the police stop you and you know you're not a criminal, I still maintained my rights to find out why you're questioning me about such personal situations for no damn reason. That is what we have been speaking on endlessly here since 2013 when I got started here. We are up against something that is designed to be in place to the end of time for us. But we have got to learn that we cannot not breathe in paranoia. We have to live at some point, come what may. We will endure unethical, illegal, inhumane, and abusive procedures because we believe that we'll never be able to fight a case or win a case or stand our ground or be believed by whatever. There are higher-ups above the higher-ups above the higher-ups. That is what we'll be speaking about on the second half of this show. So that's pretty much just a little bit of our fear of the big bad monsters, and that's the police. Let's go to the next set of people. Child Protective Services, who do nothing but I call them the Child Defective Services because that's pretty much what they do. They come under this guise, which allows them to come into your house because by law they have to answer every single accusation, whether it turns out to be unfounded or not. But just like a racist, corrupt cop that wants to just go in and pin something on somebody with this new only one person needs to grant permission for a police warrant law, they're going to go in for one accusation, and they're going to look around your house from the top of your ceiling stucco to the bottom of your carpet threads. And you know what? We are so afraid of who they are, we let them. I have seen cases and lived cases where they actually to do whatever it takes so that they don't have to say we came to this house for nothing. They will create scenarios that could be constituted as abuse or neglect. For example, in a hypothetical situation, say I'm the client. You come to my house. I have a slew of repairs in an apartment I rent. I don't own this place. I'm not the landlord. I have nothing to do with it. I filed my complaints. I've made complaints to the people who pay the landlord rent. I have called every city agency, every city inspector. They've come out. They've been violated. Everything's peachy honky-dory from my end. But the repairs still haven't been made. Now, CPS comes along because they just got a tip, an anonymous call, or of accusation of. So they come in, and what they say is, well, I really just want to ask a question as to why little Tommy, little Jane, little Marilyn, or whatever it is with a bruise on her knee. She was on a bike. She's very active. She fell. Okay, in their mind, they know it's consistent. They know these kids are active nowadays. They know that 90% of the abuse calls they get are from kids being their own worst enemy with activity. They know these children are a lot smarter than any safety lock or child protective locks on the door or safety gates. They know all this already. So now they come in and they say, oh, so the plumbing is out. Why didn't you call the landlord and have it fixed? Why didn't you get it fixed? Why didn't you move to another house? And they'll actually try to make you believe or put you on the defensive as to believing that something that has absolutely nothing to do with you because they're there on an allegation, is something they can put in their little suitcase to pad their case so that it really looks bad to the judge when they get there. Okay? What else do they do? Oh, they definitely go all over the place with the way that they claim they have rights to do certain things. They don't have rights to put the rubber glove search on and start going all through your drawers and things to that effect. They have a reasonable right to look at where the children sleep, how much food is in the refrigerator, what their schooling is like, and what kind of doctor visits have they missed. That's what they can ask you for. They can ask you if the bruises near the child's genital area should be there. Is there an explanation? Those are things that they can ask. Cannot go through your drawers and start looking to the bottom like they are the police with a search warrant. Nor can they peg on you that you're an abusive or neglectful parent because your sewer lines are backed up from the water main gate on the outside in the street. And what you need to do in these cases is to sit there and assert your right as a parent to say that you know your rights, and that's absolutely something that doesn't happen. Oh, well, little Tommy's had quite a few mini bruises in the past week, and little Tommy is 11 years old, loves climbing the monkey bars, spinning upside down, sliding backwards from a big, long spiral slide, and landing on the park ground all the time. Little Sarah knows how to pick a chain lock, pass the barrier, and unlock certain things. And besides that, I've got an extra staircase thing because I figured she might be able to get out. You can't watch your children 24/7. No matter how careful you are, there's always going to be some. Sometimes you're right there holding your child and they can do something and fall right in front of you through all the protection. But that's not the way CPS will make you feel. For every two people that go out there, or every, let me even put it a little bigger, for every three calls that are made out in, by CPS, you might get one worker that truly is concerned about keeping the family together. And if you're in an African-American neighborhood getting that call, you're going to get a 0.5 worker that's really considering trying to make sure the family stays together. So you have to know your rights. You have to know the laws. You have to know what your rights as a person that CPS is involved with are. You have to know what they are not allowed to cross the line with when you get out there. So that's one of the things. Let's move on to our, I'm going to put these guys in the top five people we're afraid of, especially for those of us that are less fortunate than most people, and those of us definitely of the African-American neighborhood. I don't know about any of you, but those government agency workers, for example, public assistance, food stamps, Medicaid, Social Security, disability, any of those type of places where you have to go spill your guts on a 70-page application to get $70 every 2 weeks. And they don't feel like getting off their ass, off their desk, to go and do what they have to do. They're not trying to follow their own rules about helping you find what you need to be eligible. And they'll blame you for every damn thing that they, oops, I missed that one. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to say the client didn't do it. Meanwhile, they can close your case with the click of a button. They'll close your life for a little while, and they're okay saying, well, just do it again. And we're going, oh, God, okay, I want to curse this woman out so bad, but if I do, she can mess up my case. No, she can't. She can try. She can even be a little inconvenient for a while, but you need to know your rights, and you need to know where it is you need to go. Here's the things that we don't do. Now, let's go to our next, oh, the next little group, which is right there on the same pace with the government agencies, our potential employers. Especially as African Americans or minorities, we go into these job interviews because it's a pretty prestigious looking job, at least to us, by our standards of what we've been offered. And they wind up slipping in some well-worded, unethical or irrelevant or illegal questions. And because we feel, if we say, I opt not to answer that, and why though, what does that have to do with whatever, whatever, we feel we're going to piss them off. Their job is to evaluate you and give you a fair shot at the bite of the apple. If they don't do that, what the hell are we trying to please them for? We continue to submit our dignities, our rights, our powers to people that we voted in. God will be coming around come September, come November, begging us via emails, via spam, via mailbox, via automated phone calls, by flooding your mailbox with letters as if you've been friends forever and they miss you from camp. Like they know your every move because they even address you by first name. They'll forget all about the fact that they were bastards and bitches, excuse the French, when you needed them. But now that their term is about to expire and they need re-election, they're going to hear you all out and even apologize if they can. And our final lesser but important group is your teachers and your principals. Parents seem to be intimidated nowadays from even showing up at their own parent association. Parents seem to be intimidated when they got their child coming home from school complaining about the fact that they've been bullied and nobody's saying anything, or that their teachers are telling them, oh, just go sit down and be quiet, or that they're doing certain things with work that clearly is not fair or allowed, or if so you look a little deeper, is not even regulated. We're afraid to fight for everything, including telling them, hell with that standardized test. My child did well all year. You're going to tell me that none of that matters if they don't pass this test? I listened to a co-host on our sister station, the AMFM247.com frequency station. The man's name is Neil Daly. I had a personal situation with his daughter and wife. The wife got an email or a conference told to her that their daughter, who happened to be in the emergency room on the last day of grading for the teachers, didn't turn in her work on that day because she was absent due to having a serious illness that took her to the emergency room. And what this teacher told the mother was, oh, well, Jennifer didn't bring in her assignments and grading closed. I'm sorry, that's it, it's over, you know, can't add it in. These assignments will not be included. When the father heard it, he's like, what? Oh, no. So he sends off an email saying, what do you mean that a child who's absent, and by law, they have one extra school day to make up work before it's considered late or unincludable. Okay? And what happened was he told the teacher in a very nice but firm way, she wrote back in a defensive, and he says, what do you mean a child can't get sick, and even though the work was there but not physically brought to you because of an illness, an extenuating circumstance, it's not counted? I want these grades counted, and that's the end of the discussion. But you can't guess what nationality he is. So now with that being said, before we start talking solution, let's hear what our panelists have to say for the evening, and I'm going to bring them in 1 second. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and hello to the future panels that will be joining us hopefully in this evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Deacon, for joining us this evening, and what is your take on tonight's topic?
Well, it's sort of comical because it's something that our people have gotten themselves so programmed to that they don't seem like they're lost in trying to figure out what to do about it. The only thing I've always said about it is get up off your butts and stop running your mouths and complaining about things and take control of it, because we ourselves as people, looking at ourselves first and not worried about everybody else, we need to get our house in order first. In order for us to have an effect on any of these things that are happening, it's long overdue for us to stand up on our own and do something for ourselves and not look to somebody else to do it for us. We are of a great race of people, and we are born from leaders, so there's no problem with us developing our own leaders and having our own thing going instead of trying to worry about what somebody else is going to do for us. We should be able to do for ourselves.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that one. And, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So,
and it's,
go ahead, sir.
And then you made some points on the teachers and the school principals. I have a problem with some of the teachers and maybe some of the school principals, but you can't always put all the blame on them with the way the parents are in today's society. This is a great chance that when the parent comes up to the school to check on their child, you're going to have a problem with them, and especially if it's a problem child that you're dealing with, and then you can see where the problem comes from once you meet the parent, and that needs to change. You know, because right now it's not the way it's supposed to be, and we as the elder statesmen are supposed to be teaching these children, but a lot of them are not being taught anything because the so-called parents are so selfish and they're stuck on themselves. And then let's go back to the teachers. Some of the teachers are there just to get a paycheck, and it shouldn't be like that. They should be able to have to take a sworn oath, just like a doctor is sworn to help heal you if you get sick or something. You know, because first of all, these children are our treasured jewels. So, I mean, what's the problem? Why should you have a problem coming into an inner city if you're not used to it? Don't come into the inner city trying to teach one of the inner city children and you're not used to it. Instead of having a negative attitude and doing whatever it is that you need to do to get your paycheck and not teach these children, that's not right.
Actually, I just, Deacon, I have to go to break for a minute. I just got word from some live streamers that apparently the show stopped playing for them, and I have to get into the text to find out what that was. So I want to go to break, and I agree with everything that you just said. You're absolutely correct on it. That is my fight with our people, with us, period. That is going to be part of what we speak on in just a minute, because part two apparently got cut off from them. So we may have to restart this, and we're just going to go straight into the discussion again. But just hang on a little bit, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
I won't let you down.
welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show. There is a problem with the live listeners, so we're going to log off now and restart so everybody can get to hear it. I don't know what went wrong. So you guys just call back in about, well, I'm going to repost it, and we will continue the conversation. Deacon, you will have the mic up first, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.